This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday and we are here. It's the 12th of August. Long weekend over. You are hopefully rested and ready to take on a normal week of 5 days. I know it really sucks. I can't imagine why we'd have to do this. It's so uncivilized, you know? I mean, really.
I just want to wake up and feel human, you know?
Yeah, I know. And like, 4 days a week is fine. We don't need to do five. I don't understand this. Obsession with five-day weeks. Can you give it a break?
Isn't there a country where it is full?
Well, the Gambia, apparently, they tried it. I don't know if they're still doing it. I mean, they're not the world's most successful country.
No, I mean, if it was Sweden, I'd say, okay.
It's worth a go. Yeah. The Gambia. Mm-hmm. It's about the size of my fingernail.
Where is Gambia?
It's the Gambia.
The Gambia.
Yeah.
It's a little, it's if you're a colonialist.
No, it's called the Gambia.
Is it the Gambia?
Yes, it's the Gambia. Go look at this. Gambia. You think I'm going to give you false information first thing on a Monday? So the Gambia is a tiny little sliver of a country along the Gambia River in West Africa. It's sort of tucked in near
Guinea-Bissau.
Cote d'Ivoire, Guinea-Bissau, Senegal. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
And it's the Gambia.
Do people work at the Gambia? Doesn't sound like it.
Well, there's abundant wildlife.
You make it sound like it's a company. it's an actual country. Uh-huh. So they do work, but it hasn't got the world's most powerful economy. So you can't really go, well, the Gambia, it's all happening there today.
Ah, I see.
There's none of that.
It's got a very good national park.
Yes, a wall of park.
Lots of monkeys, leopards, hippos, rhinos, and rare birds.
Oh, wow. It's quite a, that's a selection, huh?
So they could make money off of that. Mm. And we cross now to the Gambia.
Sounds like rabid birds.
Wow, there's a lot going on in the Gambia.
But that's about it.
Well, good morning to you, to Leanne, to Gugu, and to Sia this morning. Hello, Sia Sangweni.
Good morning.
How was your long weekend?
Yo. There was a lot going on.
Was it lit?
No. It was actually quite civilized. I was hosting family. My sister came over from Durban, and we had a lot of like good, wholesome family activity, no raucous behavior. She came over on, she came over on Thursday and we went to like a comedy show. We had like games night with all of the siblings together.
Okay. Look at you. Very civilized.
Yeah. It was nice to have the siblings all together. There was no World War III that took place, even though, you know, such happens
all of you
with
together.
The Sangweni's happen. Yeah.
That's
all
fantastic.
Three sisters and myself. Awesome. It was all good.
Fantastic. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I did see you were involved in some very heavy 30 seconds-ing at some point.
Yeah. You know, 30 seconds, you start off mildly and you think, oh,
everyone gets along and it's all good.
It's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then people become sore losers because it was, you know, my cousin was also over and my cousin had his girlfriend and starts off, you know, like, oh, it's just a game. We don't care. We ended up playing like, I think, three different rounds. Because now people were bitter.
Allegations of cheating.
And by people, I mean me.
Oh, you're the most competitive.
I'm sorry.
You know, people think
I was pissed.
They think Sia has this, he's totally friendly and lovely all the time. He
really
is not.
I'm losing that connotation day by day now.
Yeah, he's an angry loser. He doesn't like losing. And he gets very competitive.
Yeah.
Very competitive.
You know, in a multilingual household, you also have to be very particular now. It's like, no. You can't say that in isiZulu. It has to be in English. And then, no, you left out the and the.
Mm. Yes, because otherwise it's cheating. I mean, like, that is straightforward cheating. You just can't, because you know the other people in the room speak another language, use that word from another language. That's cheating.
You can tell I'm not bitter, right?
No, you're
I'm still not holding on to it
still,
at all.
He's still on his cross. Like Monday morning has arrived and he's still not over it.
I think we finished at about 1 a.m. and I woke up still like the next morning with my arms folded like, you guys.
You're still cross. Okay, well.
Just a little.
Leanne and I and Gugu walked in this morning to find all our furniture is just in complete disarray because we had the stuff cleaned.
Mm.
There's a guy called Keith who's running a little business.
Oh, Keith Marth.
No.
What?
No, that's not his name. But
oh. Not that Keith.
No, Keith is, he used to run a car washing business downstairs. He runs this now. He bought a high pressure cleaner. We kind of helped him set that up as well because he needed initial capital outlay. So we kind of lent him the money and now he cleans our stuff from time to time.
But it looks like we've been ransacked somehow.
Yeah, it looks like someone broke in and stole everything and left the place in disarray.
But yet smelling so nice.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Clean as a whistle. So, like, if you've been to visit Cliff Central somewhere in the last 4 years, you know that in the last maybe year or so, the furniture's just, like, it started to look like it's taking a pretty hard knock from all the visits and all the asses sitting on the sofas and that kind of
thing. Some naked. Some clothes.
No, we've never had the naked people on the outside furniture. They've been on this leather one in here. But we've cleaned that thoroughly.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, been cleaned thoroughly.
I'll inspect it later.
And then with the UV light, is that what you're going to do?
Ken then is one to inspect it because he likes sleeping on that couch.
So we've cleaned the stuff and it looks much better, I suppose, once it's all tidied up. But we'll get to that later today. But I was thinking about it the other day. You don't... Most people sit in a lounge, a sitting room, TV room. They never really clean those sofas.
Imagine the shit that's on there.
Well, they eat in there. I mean, a lot of people eat in front of the TV, right?
You've got your dog and cat hair.
Dog and cat hair. People sometimes sit over there when no one's around. Like in summer, they'll sit there in their underwear or worse.
Oh, no.
You know, they might poop in their sleep.
You need to occasionally clean this stuff.
I've never thought of it like that.
Yes.
Do you know, I'm still not over what George Meany told us a few weeks ago about how your car seat is probably one of the dirtiest places around because of, you know, if you eat and then some things drop to the floor and then the sun gets in. I'm still not over that. So thanks. Now you've also ruined my sofa.
Under your car seat, especially people who like to get takeaways in their cars.
Like Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
Mold and shit.
No, like me as well. I'll own it.
Yeah.
Oh,
damn right. I
and then you drop something in there and you like dig chip. For it. Yeah.
There's a chip.
No. Yeah, there's a chip in there that you touch. Something soggy and wet and
sometimes it bites back.
Because it's come to life.
Oh, man. I thought of the funniest movie that I haven't seen in such a long time. I think it came up when Gord and I were talking about those prehistoric creatures a little while ago. But it's this movie with Jack Black's in it. And it's like they're in the past in some distant like Jurassic era and there are dinosaurs running around and this mosquito bites him. But the mosquito is so enormous. It's like the size of a cat. And then it sucks out so much blood that he gets faint.
It was the Wild Wild West or something.
I can't remember what it's called, but my God, it's funny. And then he starts yawning because this thing is sucking out so much blood and he falls backwards onto it and it splatters and there's just that blood everywhere.
I'm trying to figure out which movie this is. Is it not Evolution?
No, it's something like that is Wild West or Surviving or 100 Ways to Die in the Wild West or something.
I can't remember now. It's going to drive me crazy.
And not Jumanji.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
How many times must I say Wild West?
Maybe it wasn't even maybe it was Will Ferrell.
No,
not Jack Black.
Yeah, him or and it wasn't Jack Black. It was the other guy.
Oh, you guys are making it so easy for us to
find. All right, if anybody knows what the hell we're talking about, that would be really great.
I'm trying to Google Jack Black mosquito movie now.
A Million Ways to Die in the Wild West.
That's not
in
it.
The West.
That's Charlize Theron.
And Seth MacFarlane.
And it was Seth MacFarlane, yes.
No, Seth MacFarlane was absolutely not in the movie with the big mosquito.
Mm-hmm.
No, this one is Western, the one you're thinking of. It's hilarious. It's where they do all those photographs. But in photographs before, like, 1900, nobody smiled. They used to just sit there very sullen and solemn in every photograph. Land of the Lost, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
And the Google Award for this
one. Well done, Sia. Very good.
I just Googled big mosquito comedy movie.
Yes.
And it popped up, Land of the Lost.
Thank you
the
very much.
The prehistoric mosquito.
What a great movie. Oh, I loved that movie. And he goes, oh my God, I'm so tired.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm so tired. And then this thing is sucking out like liters and liters of blood from his neck. And then he just falls backwards and it bursts.
I actually haven't watched a good comedy like that in a while.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I had a great weekend. I did a lastminute.com thing, and decided, there's a friend of mine out here from New York, and he, his dad owns like a place in Dalstrom.
Mm.
So I called up another friend of mine, and she and he and I drove together to Dalstrom.
Yeah.
And then other people joined us there as well.
Stay in a nice cottage.
We stayed in this, he's got this lovely house, and then there's a, he's built this bar, which is fantastic. And, you know, it was chilly weather, so mm-hmm. you're indoors most of the time. We drank so much.
Oh, goodness me.
Oh, I was, I promise you, I woke up on Friday morning, I was fine. So Thursday night, even though it was a heavy night, Friday morning, I was good. Saturday morning, because of course we repeated the same procedure two nights in a row.
Rinse and repeat.
Procedure.
And we did go into Dalstrom for a tequila tasting on the Saturday afternoon as well,
mm-hmm.
which was really fun. I mean, that place, the mist, by the way, there was so much mist driving back from this, from the actual town to the farm that we were on.
That you missed your turn off.
No, but you couldn't see, I don't want to exaggerate this, you could not see 5 meters in front of the car. It was like a blanket in front of your windscreen. And that is so dangerous, as you know. So you've got to take it slowly. And then there's, you know, because it's a dirt road, there's also dust, which doesn't help because it's dust and mist. And wow, it was a real adventure. And then woke up on Saturday morning feeling like I had been attacked by a mob of screaming dangerous banshees.
Oh.
And they had force-fed me every kind of liquor that there wasn't. We drank everything.
Oh, no.
We finished everything.
And you don't do that.
No, I really don't. And it was just so much fun. It was one of those, you know, one of those unplanned things that happen and you just go, oh, this is great. I'm so glad I did this.
Mm.
Because normally I would say, nah, let me take it easy. Let me rather have a chilled weekend. And this one, I absolutely was not chilled.
Are you still feeling fragile this morning?
No. Luckily, I took much of Saturday afternoon and most of Sunday to just do zero. And that was fantastic. So a nice break from the usual. Oh. And also, it was good to catch up with some people I don't get to see often. And just really people you know well that you just – every conversation is interesting. And you don't run out of stuff to say to each other. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
That was good fun.
So good.
Yeah. And anybody do anything interesting, Gugu? Any bad behavior on your part?
Oh, Gareth, I'm always behaved. I don't know who you're talking about.
Any dates you went on?
Yes. No, we're all excited for your next date. Come on, Gugu.
With exotic ladies.
Ladies of exotic height, maybe.
If you guys have any friends, anyone that you know that's exotic,
are you now pitching for our friends? You're pitching.
Yeah, of course. That's what colleagues do for each other.
You're pitching business for our friends.
Do I look like I have exotic friends?
Okay, maybe not, Julianne.
You actually probably, out of all of us, might just have exotic friends.
Do you think?
She carries bricks and bags.
She was a swinger. She has friends from the West Rand, the East Rand, the South. No, you do. She's
been around the block.
You don't just live in a bubble.
This is true. I'll have a think.
Yeah.
Okay. You let them know.
Hey, here's Keith. Let me introduce everybody to Keith.
Oh, but Keith.
Oh, is that Keith?
Yeah, let me. Keith, come to this microphone over here. We want to talk to you. Let me just show you he's a real guy.
Mm.
Yeah. Hey, dude, how are you?
Thanks, and how are you, my boss?
Just pull the mic a little bit closer to you.
Yes.
How's business? I see you cleaned all of our upholstery over the weekend.
It's coming right, my boss.
Yeah. Are you good? Is business good?
So far, it's very good.
And you got more people using your services and making you some money?
So far...
It's coming.
My customers are very few, but I'm expecting more.
Well, this is welcome to Cyril Ramaphosa's economy, but we'll try. Wow. You know we'll support you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good man.
Thank you.
We're Keith's favorite customers.
Well, we're thinking his only customers at the moment, but yeah.
What you didn't mention is that Keith also runs a car wash over here.
I know.
He offered to wash my car the other day.
He's going to... Keith, can you do my car later today if you have time? Because mine looks like absolute shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it today.
It's so dirty. It's got that dust from those dust roads.
It's always dirty, Gareth.
Thanks, man.
Don't blame the
dust. Thank you so much.
It looks like it's been...
All the dust and the must.
Dust and must. That's what it is. But the worst is the dist. Must.
Oh. Leanne, what were you up to this weekend?
I Netflix and chilled.
Oh, nice.
What did I watch? Oh, The Good Place I'm on at the moment.
What's The Good
what
Place?
What is that?
It's about the afterlife. It's about the afterlife.
Oh, really?
But it's just a comedic series. I'm trying to think of the actors' names now.
No, well, so far you've had a complete fail on that front with Will Ferrell and Seth MacFarlane and Jack Black. She thinks they're all one person.
No, exactly. Not very good. But otherwise, I did a little bit of work, which was nice because I feel like I'm ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, that is a good feeling.
All of my emails are in their inboxes.
Nice.
And I can just sit back and wait for them to panic this morning.
I love getting ahead of the curve. And that's why I do emails straight after the show in the morning. I get cracking at like 8 o'clock and get all those emails out by 8:30. Even if it's just a, you know, because what irritates me so much about people is that they don't reply.
Mm.
Like, I'd rather you reply and say, listen, I'll get to this today. I'm just kind of swamped.
Mm.
So even if I know I've got long emails to do or some, I have to put together complex documents or write a thing or whatever, I'll just say to people, hey, listen, I haven't forgotten about this. I'm onto it. I'll get back to you today. But to just leave it, I mean, it drives me insane. And I'm talking about big companies with important people in them. You email them and they don't even acknowledge it. Then like 2 weeks later, you send them a reminder to say, hey, I sent this 2 weeks ago. Did you get it? And then, oh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I forgot about it.
Sounds like Margaret.
Yeah, that's how it sounds. I'm telling you.
So just to tell you, the good place is Kristen Bell, Ted Danson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Quite fun.
What, are they in heaven?
That's a secret.
Oh.
I would be giving away plots.
Well, you did just tell us it's the
it's
good
the
place.
It's the afterlife.
Oh, okay. So they might be in hell.
Who knows?
Oh, man. I was thinking about it, especially after this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to know a lot of people in heaven if I go to heaven.
Oh, goodness.
I don't.
Are you surrounded by pieces of shit?
Not pieces of shit, but like people who are just not necessarily the kind who get straight into heaven.
Mm.
Most of my friends are not the kind of people who are going to be, you know, heaven is supposedly kind of boring. I mean, even in the Bible, they only talk about heaven very briefly, and they say what it is it's a place of eternal worship. This is all the information you're going to find. I've tried.
That might be hell for some.
I know.
Oh, I love singing.
Eternal worship. Yeah, so you're basically praising all the time.
It's like living in a musical.
Yes, correct. But it's all about God, right? It's you're praising him. And there's supposedly some music. But it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of good music because all the rock musicians obviously go straight to hell. Mm. You know, all the people who – and I don't know that gospel's going to get you into heaven either. Because some of that's absolute shit.
It's quite a finicky criteria then.
Exactly. So it's a very limited – I'm not excited about that prospect.
Mm.
So I've been thinking about the afterlife and I thought, I pretty much think I've hedged my bets on the side of hell.
Really?
Yeah, well...
I was hoping to see you in heaven, Gareth. I'm disappointed.
Gugu, you can enjoy your time with me here on Earth.
Well, clearly, that's what I need to do now.
Yeah, it's not like we've got so much to say to each other already, you know what I mean?
You'll deal with the heat of hell. The fires.
But again, wouldn't I rather like summer all year round?
What do you think hell looks like? What's your idea?
If you read Dante's Inferno, which is actually hilarious, and if you haven't read it, it's a good book to read. It's the story of Virgil the poet who goes down into the bowels of hell. He goes all the way down to what they call the ninth circle of hell.
Because there are all these different realms on the way in.
Correct, and he gets a tour. He gets shown all the different things. The stuff that happens in there is pretty upsetting.
Mm.
Mm.
Not orgies and shit.
No. It doesn't look like it's a fun place. But then, okay. But then that was part of the marketing.
Yeah.
They do want to keep the boring people out, you know? I think that what they did is that was the devil's, that was his pamphlet to chase away the dull people. That's how I'm feeling about it now.
But meanwhile, it's a party.
It was basically disinformation marketing. He looked at the situation and said, look, this place is getting too crowded. People know it's a good time. So what we're going to do is we're going to get, Dante to write this thing.
You can be our PR person.
Yeah, we'll pay him a lot of money. And he can put to Dante Alighieri was the guy's name. He can put together this really horrible, scary book. Because in those days, they didn't really have movies or, you know, Netflix specials. So the book was the best thing. And and tell him it's, just tell people it's really dangerous and there are demons and things eat things and you'll be eaten and you'll be in torment all the time and they'll drive stakes into your eyes and burn you and burn you and burn you and when you think you've burnt enough they'll burn you again. Oh, just make it really shit.
Eternally.
And like, yeah, you know, the devil sat down with him and gave him some ideas. Oh. And then Dante wrote this book, and since then they haven't had a population explosion in hell. So it's really for the cool people who want to have a whole lot of fun, but they also don't want everyone else to know they're having fun. It's like when you have a really special party and you handpick the people you're inviting, rather than that you all just meet somewhere and then other people join you who are not necessarily your kind of people. You got me?
Mm-hmm.
It's choice.
I bet that his book was used as a basis for a lot of these ideas in The Good Life. The Good Place.
The Good Place. This is the series, by the way, that Leanne's watching. She keeps changing the name of it, but it's called The Good Place.
Nor sure of what exactly happens in there.
Oh, and the other thing I started watching was Stranger Things.
Oh, I've been threatening to get back into that. Because I watched the first three episodes and I was just... I wasn't grabbed. I don't know. Maybe I should try
I think
the
most fun part about it is the way it's set in the 80s.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know, you look at the old phones and you think about how millennials watching it are fascinated by this old technology. In the meantime, it was just normal for us.
Yeah, see, I've never seen one of those phones where you dial and then the rotary thing on top actually goes bop, 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 all the way back. No.
I remember once upon a time we had it in storage at home because my mother's a quarter two hoarder. We got rid of it, but I still don't understand the system of how you dial. I know you just spin it.
Yeah.
It's like a little game. It's like Wheel of Fortune. You have to spin the wheel.
Correct.
And then how you go about dialing, I don't know.
Can you imagine dialing a number when you're in a rush, when it goes, and that's just zero. Correct.
And yeah, zero took the longest because one, you'd go.
Yeah.
Two would go.
How could you like phone in silence?
You couldn't.
Or in secret. You couldn't do that.
No.
Because I grew up.
You'd have to put it under your pillow or something.
But you then, it was connected to a cord. So that means you'd have to have a long cable from the wall to wherever you were hiding the phone. So it was impossible.
I'm just thinking as a teenager, if you're trying to hide, talking to your friends or something, you couldn't do that.
Your friend would have... Here's what would happen. I'd go...
Hello, Mrs. Thompson. This is Gareth. Can I speak to my friend Dan?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sure, Gareth. Just hold on. Let me see if he's here. And then she'd go... And she'd walk off. And then about, like, a minute later, she'd come back after you hear her scream, Dad! Where are you? And then she'd come back and go...
It seems like he's not here. I think he's playing outside.
Which, of course, never happened since the 80s either.
Because now they're plagues and things. And
right, and you got, like, PlayStations and all kinds of shit going on. So then she'd say to you, I'm really sorry he's not here to take your call right now.
Okay, thanks, Mrs. Johnson. Have a nice day.
That Gareth is such a polite young man.
I'm glad. Mine was, hello, Mrs. And they'd go, oh, hold on. Or it would be some brother who went, oh, Sarah.
Your stupid friend Leanne's on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no private communication.
Everyone knew.
Because this was also in the lounge. So you couldn't gossip about anyone. You couldn't have, you know.
I begged for a phone in my room and my mom told me I was watching too many American movies. And now I want to say, but we've all got phones in our rooms.
Yeah.
You see, I grew up, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s with that old school white telecom phone that had a key and you could lock it and not be able to call outside.
That's what your phone sounded like when it rang. Just hold on. That's Mrs. Johnson. She's still alive. She's saying Dan left home 40 years ago and he hasn't.
And you know, it wasn't like a cell phone. This, you could let it ring for 2 hours.
Really?
It would just ring.
Yeah, it would. Wow.
Oh, no.
No, the only memory I have of that is of my uncles who would have me call their girlfriends because obviously the parents going to answer that side.
Oh.
And I was a child, so I had a baby voice and it sounded like a girl.
Yes.
You
know what I mean?
So they'd have me call. Bit.
Thanks for that.
I love it.
Did that sound like a man?
No, no, you just sound like a bull.
Oh, okay. You sound like a wild animal.
And there were so many prank calls that went on and wrong numbers and crossed lines.
I'd phone like the dry cleaner and pretend to be like a Scottish woman and say, I think I've left my haggis in your laundry in one of your machines. And then they'd go, leave us alone.
Thinking about the admin of that. So you had to find the number of the dry cleaners in the yellow pages.
In a phone book.
Yeah.
And I'd phone and... Yeah, like dumb stuff.
We used to dial random numbers and then whoever was at home would answer and we told them they'd won R1,000 or whatever from Simba, but they had to roar like a lion.
And then they wouldn't. It would be so embarrassing because you'd say, ha ha, at the end like a kid from The Simpsons.
Well, cut to 2019, where now there's this new trend on Twitter to find your number neighbor. And I think
we discussed this the other day. Yeah.
Imagine people calling around like that.
I'm just worried that my number neighbor is some really shit person and I don't want to connect with them.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not interested in it.
No.
I can't even manage the people in my own life. I don't need to add more. No, I don't want
to. These days, there are so many ways to filter. You know, it's amazing. If you think about how Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram and all this stuff has made so much of your information public now that really this is the greatest spying mechanism ever invented. Like, you don't have to be the CIA to figure out 9,000 things about every person on Earth without ever knowing them.
Mm. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
My favorite app right now on my phone is Truecaller.
Yes, that's a very useful thing.
Take someone's number, you search it on the app.
Right.
You find their name and surname.
You are such a stalker.
Bob's your uncle afterwards.
Isn't he creepy?
He would probably call himself a researcher.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know.
It's stalker. Stalker vibes.
Or if I'm stuck in a long queue somewhere, like maybe I'm going to collect some food at a pizza place and it's a long queue. I pick up someone's number from when they're ordering.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, let me find out who you are. I'm able to.
Oh, my word.
I'm standing in the queue. I have nothing else to do. Search their number. Then I have their name. I'm like, in like 3 minutes, I can tell they have, you know,
two kids.
They love their dog. I'm like, okay.
But if this is what he's doing to strangers, imagine what he's doing about the people he already knows, all of us in this room. Aren't you a bit nervous?
We know.
You're nervous around him, right?
He's got files.
All right. A few stories in the news this morning. You want to hear about them? It's 6:30.
Yes,
let's get into this. Three Rolex gang suspects have been arrested in four ways. Thank goodness. These guys have been causing unbelievable chaos. You know the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were part of a gang that would either follow people from the airport if they saw that they were wearing a nice watch, or they would just opportunistically stop people usually in fancy cars and just take their watch off of them. So it was just very, very scary, and a lot of people were either injured, they were shot, or they were hijacked. Their cars were taken as well sometimes. So the Joburg Metro Police have arrested three suspects that they believe are part of the infamous Rolex gang. The trio was arrested as part of a joint operation with JMPD's K9 unit, Hawks, Bad Boy Security, SAPS, and Tracker. They were nabbed in a red VW GTI and maroon Renault Sandero as they followed a potential victim but were intercepted by the team before they could rob them. So no more details on that at the moment, but good news. Let's hope they got them. And then the police seem to have had a very good weekend because they also, in Maguzi, in KwaZulu-Natal, seized 20 vehicles at the border between South Africa and Mozambique between the beginning of June and the 4th of August. The vehicles were either hijacked or stolen from various parts of the country, and they were destined to be taken across the border. Eight suspects were arrested during these operations, have appeared in the Manguzi Magistrates Court on charges of being in possession of suspected stolen vehicles. Among the vehicles are some trucks, buckies, and smaller cars. Some were found hidden in dense vegetation, while others were intercepted just before they crossed the border. Police said that the engine and chassis numbers on these vehicles had been altered, making it difficult to link the vehicles to what crimes they had been stolen in across the country. But there we go. They've nabbed a couple of vehicles. And the police's good run doesn't end there.
Oh, tell us more.
42 motorists were arrested across the Western Cape this long weekend. Since Thursday night, traffic authorities hosted a series of roadblocks, testing drivers for how drunk they were. And by Sunday morning, officers had tested more than 1,100 drivers, 38 of whom failed and were arrested. I think that's a good. Pretty good number.
Yeah.
Out of 1,100, only 38 were drunk in the Western Cape.
What are you trying to say?
Most of them are drunk most of the time.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I mean, you know, 38 out of 1,100 is a small fraction.
Yeah.
But good. I'm glad they arrested them. Authorities also managed to catch up with four speedsters who were taken into custody. So there's some news from the police. Their run doesn't end. You want more?
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Yes, because police acted on a tip-off that led them to a home in Tableview, where they discovered abalone and arrested two men. That's right, two suspected poachers who will appear in court on Monday after they were caught with 1.2 million rand in abalone. Police acted on a tip-off that took them to this home. They arrested the two men. They said there were over 4,000 units of abalone and six bags of frozen abalone, and they were also seizing fridges and apparently equipment that was used to dry some of this.
Did you see the video of that police chase in the Western Cape?
No. Is this over this weekend?
Yeah, over the weekend. These dudes are trying to get away in a Mazda Sting. Do you remember the Sting?
Yes, I remember.
The 323. Yeah,
it's and a good car, solid.
Solid in 2019, trying to run away from the police.
And they got caught.
They got caught within like a kilometer or two.
Was there a crash or did they just get caught?
They just decided to pull over and try to run out the car. They got tackled, flattened, taken to jail.
Oh.
Well,
flattened.
Well, good, yeah. No, he doesn't mean they were flattened by a car like a pancake, but they were. They were caught.
Very descriptive language.
And then, just in case you're interested, because I know how many of you are thrilled and care about Radovan Krejcer, the Department of Correctional Services have denied that convicted crime boss Radovan Krejcer's life is in danger. According to the Saturday Star, Krejcer's family believes he will be murdered if he isn't moved out of the Leeuwkop maximum security prison. But Leeuwkop is it's not a bad one.
It's in Sunninghill.
Yeah, I see them exercising out there often. Looks like a good prison.
I mean...
and it's in a good location.
Don't you want to live in one of those complexes and look over...
in Sunninghill, yeah.
And see a sea of orange inmates.
Yeah, just down the road from us. So you might see Radovan if you've got a pair of binoculars. How much fun is that? This past week, the Gauteng High Court dismissed Krejcer's application to be moved. The Czech crime boss has accused the head of the prison, Anthony Gina, of instructing a fellow inmate to poison him.
Mm.
Correctional Services spokesperson Singabako Ngomalo said that the claim was baseless. It was alleged that he was head of the center. It was the head of the center who was behind this, but it was as a department, we want to make it clear that all our inmates in our care are kept in the same secure place. It is our responsibility to ensure that everyone is safe. Mr. Krejcer and his family can rest assured he is safe in our care. Not so much Jeffrey Epstein. We'll talk about that later on. Whoa, those Clintons are dangerous. I hope everybody else is safe from the Clintons this weekend. Sweet Jesus. The only person that they saw going in and out of that prison was someone who looked really a lot like Hillary Clinton with a fake mustache on.
Aye.
That's all I know. Doesn't look very good, but we've got to talk about
that. In terms of, you know, having a career post the White House, you know, author, presidential murderous candidate, and now...
she's dangerous.
Woman.
And Bitcoin is currently trading at $10,528, unless I've got it wrong like I did last week, and Ethereum at $219. In the sport, because this just came in, you know, we don't have Ben here for the sport anymore, but I do have Brendan, who said... the Springboks won the championship after beating Argentina and All Blacks lost against Australia. In the Premier League, Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Tottenham and Arsenal were all off to a winning start. Man United beat Chelsea 4-0. Not a good start for Frank Lampard and his side. And there were some Curry Cup games on, but no one really cares about that. So, Brendan, thank you for filling in on the sport this morning. Isn't that helpful?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Very good
man.
Because I do feel like we've got a bit of a gap going on there.
Mm.
And look, frankly, I mean, you know, Leanne and Sia and I, anyway, we don't care about sport at all. So we haven't even
met. Only sometimes.
You think I care about sport.
You care about sport?
I don't.
You don't care about it either. There we go. We have a complete full house when it comes. Anthea, you don't care about sport?
Not in the least.
No, Anthea doesn't give a shit either. Anyway. Not interested. Not interested in sport. So look, there's nobody who cares. So thanks for that, Brendan. At least someone's helping and looking after things. All right. A few other things to get into this morning, and we'll get to Anthea in a second because we've got to talk about the economy. I don't know if you've seen a brilliant article that was written by R.W. Johnson, who from time to time takes a pen and puts it to paper, talking about what is inevitably going to happen with our wonderful South African economy in the hands of the absolutely useless ANC. He basically has said that the entire period from 1994 to 2020 is going to be written off as a failure, a failed republic. That there is only probably one or two rays of hope in that whole period.
Oh, geez.
But that otherwise the economy's been mismanaged. Politically, it's been in clusterfuck land. And he uses a number of much more persuasive terminology than I just have. He says, all roads lead to the IMF. So we've got to talk a little bit about that later on. And what that means is that there will have to be an IMF bailout because they are the lender of last resort. Because this government is so bad at managing money and so bad at managing the country.
We've been pretending that we're okay.
Yeah.
And for a number of years.
And they're just spending, spending, spending. They don't seem to understand how any of this stuff works. So finally, the chickens have come home to roost. And what's going to happen now is that, according to him, the only available option for the ANC and for our government in general and for all of us in this country to deal with the, you know, problems that we have in terms of paying off Eskom's debt and everything else, is they're going to have to go cap in hand to the IMF. And he goes into whether that's a good or a bad thing. It's a really good article. I'll see if I can post it on cliffcentral.com and you can take a look at it later. Because when I mentioned it now, Anthea went, oh, yes, I've been reading that. Right?
Super interesting article. I mean, I think he's a bit harsh because there have been some rays of sunshine. It hasn't been all dreadful, but he's right. It does look at like an IMF bailout is on the cards. And so many people in the last 2 weeks or so have messaged me going, oh my goodness, have you seen this? We might have an IMF bailout. I was like, how is that a surprise?
Yeah.
Like, we've been talking about it for ages.
What, did you think things were being managed well?
Yeah. Like, you've seen the Eskom debt increase. You've seen SAA get bailouts. It's been nonstop. You've seen economic GDP growth being decreased low and low. You've seen a recession. Like, the signs are all there.
Yep. No, you're right. Okay, it's time for Anthea. Let's do this. First, we need your theme music. Heard this one before.
I don't think so.
Anthea, you're so talented. So versatile.
Okay, wait, let's take a listen. This is good.
She works hard for the money. So hard for the money. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Nice. Alright, so where should we begin this morning?
Well, that was my cigar smoking testosterone fueled voice.
Very good.
So talented.
When Anthea was toying with the idea of being transgender for a couple of days. But very good. So apparently China and the US are still fighting with each other. And the trade war with President Little Hands and
President Little Hands has turned around and accused China of currency manipulation.
Isn't it true, though?
Yes, but I think what they've done is just shoot about arrow across the bow and say, by the way, if you're going to play this game, so can we. And if you're going to insist on implementing trade tariffs, hey, we also
good for the goose.
Absolutely. And by weakening their currency, what they've done is make it more interesting for other countries to buy their goods because it'll be cheaper, right? So they did that on Monday. And then on Tuesday, they said, okay, we won't do too much of it. We'll kind of revert back to where we were. But it was basically a just be aware that this is what we can do. The last time they did that, the last time there was a currency war, the equity market fell 20% in the next couple of weeks. So we want to watch carefully. And China knows this. And basically they're saying, well, Donald Trump, if you're going to take us down, we're not small. We're going to take you down with us, is basically what they were saying. And then they kind of brought back their currency, to the below 7 yuan to the dollar level.
Just quickly, how's our rand doing?
Oh no, the rand completely blew out. Tuesday, Jesus. We hit 15 to the US dollar, came back again in the afternoon Wednesday, and then on Wednesday afternoon, when Trump accused China of currency manipulation, the rand blew up above 15 to the US dollar again. So it's really ugly for us. We're not going to win if this does continue. In fact, the market took a real beating last week. 20 companies on the JSE registered a 52-week low last week. Yeah, so that's the lowest they've been in a year. Gold shares, quite the opposite, though. They're having highs because obviously when we're worried about the economy and economic growth, people run to gold as a safe haven. And so if you've had gold as a hedge, then you were kind of saved, if you like, by that.
It's 1525 at the moment.
Oh, that hurts, eh?
Jesus, it was at 13-something just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
2 weeks ago.
All right.
And then on top of that, SASPO, which is the South African Banking Union, is threatening to strike over the job losses that Absa and Standard Bank are implementing at the moment. So Absa and Standard Bank, both of them in talks with their staff saying, well, you have to reapply for your jobs. We have to fire some people. Mm-hmm. You know the story, right? It's all because of the digital banking, because of time.
Of course.
What's the other bank? The digital bank? Why am I blanking out?
Time is Michael Jordan's one.
Yeah.
And then Motsepe's one.
Rain is the
that's Michael Jordan's.
That's the phone one. No, but it's called something else. Oh, we both blanked out.
Oh dear, that's God, not good.
Useless.
Anyway, they're planning a 2-day walkout. It's the first time in over 100 years that the South African Banking Union, in inverted commas, is going to strike. So this is a big one.
I didn't even know they existed, to be perfectly honest. And what do these guys want to happen? I mean, how do they appreciate the situation that they're in? Do you think someone needs to sit them down and explain how the world works now?
Yeah, I think I'm afraid.
Do they still think people wear those green hats with a visor in the front and an armband?
Oh yes, and that's
that
a good image.
That they sit behind a counter and they actually count the money manually?
Exactly.
And hand it over?
Wait, so I think this is a great opportunity for government to step in, right? Because government can say, well, let us help reskill these people. Let us reskill your staff.
But they can't.
Why not?
Because government are cuck at everything they do.
Oh. Okay.
How would they do that? They haven't even been able to supply basic education to anybody.
That's a good point. I mean, that's a very good point.
We keep looking at this, and now there's talk of this NHI, right? Oh, the National Health Insurance, which is a terrible idea. And the NHI is going to be run by the same people who've brought you Eskom, SAA, Transnet, and a bunch of other real success stories. So how the hell do they think they're going to get this one right?
And the market knows that, because when they mentioned NHI last week, Discovery fell 6% again.
Right.
You know, they don't seem to understand the economics of how capitalism works. We're in a capitalist society. Like, just
the world is a capitalist place.
Exactly.
Let's not pretend anything else. China, we're talking about a trade war with America. These are capitalist economics going on. There's no place in the world that isn't touched by capitalism. And you know what? Get down on your knees and say, thank you, Jesus, that capitalism exists. It's brought more people out of poverty than anything else in human history. Oy, 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 that we have to explain this stuff like children in 2019. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And then on top of that, two banks, funnily enough, last week reported, Nedbank and Standard Bank.
Yes.
Surprisingly good for the economic environment we're in. Nedbank, not so great. I mean, they had positive draws to offset their deteriorating credit quality and their sliding return on equity. Their return on equity went from 17.2% to 16.8%, still double digits, so still okay. So you're still happy for the bank to manage your money, right? Because they know where to deploy it. They know how to get returns for you. But not quite the exceptional first rand in the mid-20s kind of ROEs. You know, quite frankly, sometimes wonder how First National or First Rand does it, because they do have a way of just producing amazing returns on equity. And I think the one thing, of course, we're worried about, because the consumer is so much under pressure, is the credit loss ratio. And so this is bad loans, basically. And that has definitely moved against Nedbank in the way. And then, of course, you had Mike Brown, the CEO, the next day calling for drastic measures from the government to fix the economy. I don't know. I feel like we're hitting our head against a brick wall.
What with
the government? And they just don't do anything.
All that the people who are supposedly in our government are interested in right now is figuring out the ANC factionalism. That's all they're interested in. And Johnson touches on that in his article too. It's one of the only sensible voices in a country where obviously people have started paying attention to personality politics more than they have to the fundamentals of the economy. And it's going to bite us.
And why do we give the opposition so much voice when they talk so much rubbish?
Precisely.
All they do is attack the ANC. Like, they don't actually have their own well-thought-out policies in place. No. And yet they get so much attention.
So disappointing.
Yeah. And then, as I was saying, Standard Bank bang in line with what we were expecting, but actually with a much better quality of results than we were expected. Headline earnings per share grew 5.7% for Standard Bank. Having a bit of trouble in Africa regions as they do. But yeah, generally not bad. So we were quite happy with that.
All right. Very good.
Lots of other companies. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I'm just going to touch on them briefly, okay?
Go on. You know what, Anthea? You are allowed.
The floor is yours.
All yours, yeah.
Right. Let's start with some joint venture talk. Delta Properties and Rebosis Properties, who in 2014 tried to do a JV and failed and announced last week that they were going to do it again. So the property sector in our market for the last 18 months has been under huge amounts of pressure, especially since the Viceroy report.
Well, try and sell something. Just try and sell some property right now.
It's hectic, huh?
I mean, unless you make your price so dirt cheap that you actually go backwards. Mm. There's no one who's buying property right now.
Property's really under pressure. And it's funny because it can all change in a heartbeat, mm-hmm. I think. I think if government just kind of woke up and said positive stuff and did something positive, that would change, right? Anyway, Delta Property and Rebosis together have about, I remember this number, I think it's 30 billion rands worth of property. But the actual market cap where these companies are trading is 1.7 billion and 343 million rand. So not even close to what the property valuations are. Huge amounts of debt. And the question is, why do this JV? I think obviously they want to streamline expenses, bring their headquarters together so that they can cut down on costs. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to need a huge cash injection from the top if they're going to make this work. I mean, it's quite a difficult one. And then, you know, when you were saying about how property prices have fallen, I was thinking how many people I know that are immigrating at the moment, leaving the country.
Plenty.
Uh-huh. And another one of those another place it reflects is in the schools, actually. So I was talking to a friend of mine in Cape Town, and he was saying how absolutely dirt cheap Cape Town schools, private schools, are compared to Johannesburg private schools. But I think that's going to change as well, because for the first time, you're seeing Johannesburg schools not reaching their full complement of students. So before, the private schools were oversubscribed. Now they're undersubscribed. And then Curo, which is kind of in the middle of all of that, put out their results last week as well. The share plummeted. I mean, it's now at like a 6-year low.
That's awful.
It was down 12% one day in the morning. So it was just a trading statement, sorry, not results. They're saying that things are not looking good. And the question we want to know is whether it's because they're not meeting their targets for pupils or whether they're spending money on expanding the school. So if they're spending money on expanding the school and their debt is increasing, then it's okay, right? It's CapEx.
But that's not what's happening.
You think it's that they're not. But we spoke to them in January, and things don't change that quickly, I don't think. So I don't think it changes from January to July, like 6 months where pupils leave and the school just changes so dramatically.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at these numbers of people who are leaving South Africa and taking their money and their children with them, it might be having far more profound an impact than we think.
But you know, the problem I have with that, Gareth, is that there's no official number of how many people are leaving. It's all anecdotal.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, working in financial services, I think the anecdotes are quite obvious because people are phoning us and saying, how can I get my money offshore? Should I take my money offshore? And how can I take it offshore?
Right.
So they're not just immigrating houses and kids. They're taking their money as well, which is a shame.
Well, they're not
ready
them.
To come back.
Not for them. Why would they? What indication has this government given you that you're making a safe bet by keeping your money here? Zero, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even listen, I'm trying to be an optimist myself. I'm really trying to find the reasons that we can believe in what we've still got. But it's making it impossible. If you look at the way government are just dead silent on all this stuff, they seem to show that they have zero understanding of how these things work. And it's worrying. It's very, very worrying. Anyway, let's carry on looking at the company news that you were telling us about.
Yeah, and then we saw Impact, M-P-A-C-T, not Impact as lots of people tend to say.
Yeah.
It's a paper company that was spun out of Mondi in 2011. They reported a really good set of results, which is very surprising because they focus predominantly on recycled cardboard. And actually what China did last year, January, was that they said...
Are you all right there, Sia?
Sia?
Sia's obviously an investor in...
Water Shame. Coming through his nostrils.
That's unfortunate. Sia, I think, is a major investor in Impact.
Well done, Sia. Oh.
What do we know about them?
And so what China did last year was say that you're not allowed to import recycled cardboard and plastic. And this has affected the recycled cardboard market. So it's fallen quite dramatically. And Impact, obviously, is a supplier of recycled cardboard, so cardboard boxes. But they've managed to do well. I kind of held themselves above water. And, you know, return on capital employed at 10.3%. So it's not as good as Mondi last week, which reported at a return on capital employed of 23%. But still, double-digit return on capital employed again in this economic environment. Honestly, Gareth, I think our companies have done exceptionally well and they haven't all, of course, but a lot of them have done so well.
To keep their heads above water.
Yeah, to cut costs, to manage their sales targets, to manage their costs and their sales. It's been quite something to watch. And I think, and it's so, like, it's quite exciting for me to, if the economy, does turn around, can you imagine? These are the companies that will really benefit. Yes.
I mean, from your mouth to God's ears.
Standard Bank, sure. The Foschini Group, Mondi, sure. Impact. I can only hope, right?
Listen, it would be fantastic. Wouldn't it be the best thing ever?
Absolutely. Sure. Really, really great.
Don't hold your breath, though, because they're not making it easy.
No, that's the problem.
Yeah.
And then offshore, we had news out of Tencent. They bought Vivendi's 10% stake in Universal Music for $3.3 billion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They bought into Universal Music. How's that?
Exactly. That's why I mentioned it, because it's so interesting. It's like, why would you do that?
Strange thing to do.
Yeah.
Maybe they know something we don't.
Yeah. A rebound in the music industry, perhaps?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't bet on that.
And so the
people ask me if they can get into the music business. And I'm like, I'm not even in the music business, but I know to stay the hell away from it.
Exactly.
Sure. No, you don't want to get involved in the music business.
Yeah. So, again, interesting. And then on the flip side, on a kind of a similar entertainment vein, we saw Disney's results. Pretty horrible. I mean, very noisy set of results. Disney's now knee-deep in the integration process with 21st Century Fox and Hulu.
Right.
And so just not looking great. You know, before it was quite a nicely priced company. It's back to being a price-earnings ratio of 17 times if you look at normalized earnings.
Oh, yeah?
And so that just – which is kind of where it historically has traded – so it's just not as cheap as it was last year, unfortunately. So if you did buy some last year when we were speaking about it, well done. Take some profits, I think. For new money, I'm not sure I'd invest new money into Disney shares.
So don't wish upon a star.
Well, you know, maybe it's got to do with that Disney event that we had here in South Africa just recently. In, where was it, Limpopo?
No, please don't blame them.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
No, what
please, just
mean?
Somebody
it was
tell
a
poor
fake team here in South Africa who decided to put on a winter wonderland event.
You saw that?
By
so
using
fantastic.
The Disney name.
Oh, yeah. Did they use the Disney name? I didn't realize they'd use the Disney name.
And they were also sponsored by a beer brand because, of course, that aligns well with Disney.
Okay. And kids. Kids love nothing more than a nice...
Ice
fake
cold.
Disney. Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's great.
And especially dancing to music with the F word and the B word. Oh. And the
yeah, yeah. Just what parents want.
Whatever fantastic. Happened to those producers or the guys that put it on?
Nothing. They're probably hiding in some place somewhere in the Northwest. Or
avoiding being sued.
They had a duvet weekend.
Yeah. And they were just counting their money thinking, we've done okay. Managed to pull the wool right over their eyes. Yes!
Oh, dear.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think it's going to be an interesting week. We're looking for some macro numbers again this week, hopefully, to indicate that we're not in a recession. I say that between clenched teeth.
But, Anthea, so what do you tell people when they say they want to get their money out? I mean, like, this is where you're really helpful to us because you, you know, you're our inside track, really, on the economy and on what's going on. Like, is that the sensible approach right now, or would you say be cautious?
No, because the rand's at 15.25. You're not going to get very much for your rands at this stage.
You'd rather just sit with what you've got.
At this stage, sure.
Okay.
So I've always been a proponent of diversification. So I always think you need some money offshore, or you need some currency exposure. Don't trade currency, because that's a mug's game, and it's so hard to guess where it's going, right? 2 weeks ago, it was 13, and if you bought rands, you'd be 2 rand 25 per rand in the loss. So yes, I think diversification at this stage is key. To be honest, I think not many people can afford to just up and off and leave the country. I mean, a friend of my swimming coach actually last week had a very serious conversation with me about this and said, we're thinking about going overseas. We've got British passports. Should my wife and I? I was like, why would you want to go to Britain? There's Brexit on the cards, right? If you wanted to move, you should have moved much sooner and then gotten an EU work permit, because that's what your British passport would have allowed you. Whereas now it's kind of too late, quite frankly. To find work now would be impossible as a South African, I think. And then the other thing, I'm not averse to people going away and coming back. I myself did it more than once.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course.
So go offshore. Go get experience if you're young enough and brave enough. And then come back and bring it here. Why not? But in the meantime, diversify. That's your key.
All right, Anthea. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There we go. Some sobering advice from Anthea. And I will post that R.W. Johnson article later on for you if you want to have a look at it. By the way, businesses are prone to all kinds of liabilities, from theft and fire to load shedding and road accidents. But InsurTech can protect your assets, clients, employees, and revenue in the worst case scenario. On this week's episode of the Healthy Business Show, that's Fred Rhodes' show. You know, you've probably listened to a few episodes of it already. It is an episode where he talks to Robin Burgess, who's the technical manager at Discovery Business Insurance, about how sophisticated, granular tech information is being used to reduce business risks and to make tailored insurance a seamless part of your business. You can listen and learn how to protect your business. Get the podcasts of The Healthy Business Show. It's now on cliffcentral.com or wherever you listen. We don't care what you listen to us on as long as you listen. It's brought to you by Discovery Business Insure. Get it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever else you are. And listen to the entire series. It's really, really good, especially if you are a small business owner and you do want to know how you could be running your business that much more effectively. Very good. Okay, what do we got on the agenda? We've got some news stories at 7 o'clock. We've got lots of cool stuff coming your way. Ooh, 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 ooh. I found a nice song. You want to hear a nice song?
Okay.
Yes. What is it, Sia? You wanted to tell me something.
It's time for Rivix.
Yes, we've got to talk to Sean Sanders. I know, I've got that under control. Got to find you something else too. Huh? But let's go to Sean. Hey, Mr. Sanders, how are you, dude?
Hey, Gareth. Yeah, very good. Thanks. And you?
Good. I read out the wrong Bitcoin price this morning, so I've got to correct that first up because I've been shouted at by a bunch of people. So it's currently at $11,454.20. I'll also, while we're doing this, give you the Ethereum price and a couple of others. How are things going in terms of all the bad news in the world economy is obviously driving up demand in crypto. Ethereum, one Ether is $213.39 for the US dollar. All right, so how's it looking, Sean?
Yeah, the last week was interesting. It was pretty good for the world of crypto, but we've still seen this divergence between Bitcoin's returns and the rest of the crypto market. And I think we've just started to see the rest of the crypto market start having this comeback on Bitcoin, because the year to date, I mean, Bitcoin has completely outperformed the rest of the cryptocurrency market.
Now, why have they separated out in this way? Because they used to almost be tethered together. You know, Bitcoin would move and then all the others would move with it. And you know, especially Ethereum, the two were kind of linked.
Yes, I think this is, you know, part and parcel of a maturing market. Yes. So I think that's the first thing. I mean, tokens have different use cases, right? So I think a lot of institutional investors in the US and in the UK, they've come out and, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure, and that's derivative products and whatnot that's being built around Bitcoin in particular. Right. So naturally, a lot of these institutional players are kind of punting their own book and pushing a lot of institutional money, family offices, hedge funds, you name it, into Bitcoin, and rather than moving into the broader cryptocurrency market. But I think, you know, the likes of Ethereum futures, Ripple futures, a lot of the alternative cryptocurrency products in the future, they're quite likely. And I think you're going to start seeing a U-turn. I mean, this last week you saw Bitcoin dominance, so the percentage of Bitcoin versus the whole entire crypto market, hit the highest level since 2017. Right. So I believe this trend is going to reverse over the next week or two.
Now, while we're on that matter, I mean, this can only do wonders to legitimate and to make for, if you know, family offices and the people who are more traditional, traditionally the investors in the conventional stock market and so on. This is obviously a move that should be welcomed, right? It's all bringing money into the crypto universe, where before it was the kind of stuff that was looked at skeptically by those people.
Yeah, no, most certainly. I think what crypto needs to do now, though, is it needs to start kind of doing what it set out to do. It needs to start meeting its use cases. So Bitcoin, you know, is Bitcoin a store of value, or is Bitcoin a currency, or is it a hybrid of the two? So Bitcoin needs to start, you know, being fundamentally adopted by more people. And, you know, this has started. I mean, I think it's quite staggering, because a lot of people, you know, they kind of look at the price instead of, you know, the value of the underlying networks and whatnot. Right. And if you look at Bitcoin, you know, over the last 18 months, you've seen 30 million digital asset wallets come online. That's over 18 months. I mean, that's incredible, incredible growth. And I don't think that should be discounted, because you have got these digitally native millennials, essentially. Right. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
That have come online, and we kind of used to, you know, paying $200 for a Fortnite skin, or, yeah, you know, buying virtual roses, or doing all these weird and wonderful things that our parents would have laughed at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the cryptocurrency is a little bit more native to us, and is a lot more native to, I think, the generations to come. And I think that's only going to increase going forward as well.
Well, that's exciting. And people will find new ways to spend Bitcoin. I'm sure that there are more and more ways that, in a retail sense, Bitcoin is becoming the at least one of the go-tos for some people, rather than hard cash and currency.
Yeah, 100%. But it's this debate currently of whether Bitcoin is a store of value. So is it like gold? And I think after the dollar in particular was decoupled from the gold standard in the 70s, you've just seen this mass amount of money printing taking place globally, really. And you've seen essentially the world currency. I mean, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, you can carry on, yeah. Turkey, South Africa, you know, all these currencies, and that's fiat currencies, have been absolutely demolished, relatively speaking, to the dollar. And is that trend going to change? Probably not. So that means that over the longer term, I mean, how do you save when you're in a third world country? How do you save when you're in South Africa? How do you save when you're in Turkey, Venezuela, Iran? You know, all these countries are facing a serious currency crisis. And at some point in time, you need to look at alternatives. And not everyone exactly can go out and buy gold.
Well, let me ask you on that front, because I just got a question from someone here. Marcel wants to know, do you think, and obviously this is just your opinion on this, you're not the be all and the end all, and in terms of our people we can rely on for this info, you're our best bet, but does Bitcoin mining still make the money it used to?
Oh, definitely not. So unless you're in a full spec mining pool in China, or maybe in one of the the Scandinavian countries, it's going to be very difficult to make mining to make Bitcoin mining profitable. I think if you're looking at some of the other cryptocurrencies, there's potential there. But you know, ASIC miners, which is a specific type of miner, have come onto the market, and you can't compare with them. You can't compete with them anymore using graphics cards or CPUs.
Oh, really? So it's that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I mean, you can try and make some money, but I've heard too many stories where people have bought graphics cards and they've bought these specialized miners, and then they realize that, hey, South Africa's actually got pretty expensive electricity versus the likes of Norway or, you know, some areas in China as well.
Right. Okay. Well, it's a good question nonetheless. All right. So we're talking intrinsic value, and we're talking about how it's starting to become more of a use case scenario. What about the other platforms that you guys offer? Because you've got a number of indices that we can follow. There's the, you know, there's the more kind of Ethereum based, what would you call it? That's kind of the
smart contract, I guess. Internet, call it V3, Internet 3.0, right?
That still seems to be one of the better case scenarios, but how's investment in that going internationally, not just here?
Well, this is the interesting thing, because does an increasing token price necessarily mean that the network's working or the network's not working? So in Ethereum in particular, I mean, we can look at Cardano or NEO or EOS or one of these other smart contract oriented blockchains. You know, they've seen quite a significant amount of adoption, but naturally, to get more people to adopt the token and to use the tokens, you need to try and manage the prices. And by manage the prices, you naturally, if more people are coming online to the network, you need to be able to issue more tokens so that the prices don't increase, and therefore using the network doesn't become more expensive. So what you've seen is, I think Ethereum more than any others. I mean, Ethereum's the biggest smart contract oriented blockchain globally. Right. You've seen a ton of companies come on board. You've seen decentralized applications being rolled out. And I mean, just this last week, we at Revix, we were speaking to some guys over at Polymath. Now, what Polymath's trying to do is essentially tokenize real world assets. And I mean, this is quite a staggering statistic. And let me just see if I can bring it up quickly on my screen. So the World Economic Forum predicted, and they predicted this about three times over the last 6 months, that 10% of the world's GDP will be held in tokenized assets by 2027. 10% of the world's GDP. I mean, that's pretty damn amazing. And I mean, even if they're entirely wrong, I mean, even 1%, that's still pretty incredible. And the thing is that you need to have the underlying infrastructure, the blockchain networks such as Ethereum or Cardano, to be able to kind of run this tokenized world. And that's where we're seeing a huge potential for growth.
Well, we're also seeing huge potential for anybody who does, as we discussed with Anthea a moment ago, want to take their money out of rands and into something else. Maybe you want to talk to Revix, go and make an investment with them. It doesn't have to be a lot of money, right, Sean? You could put in $500.
Yeah, no, we start with $500, and it's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
There we go. Go and see what you can do with Revix, REVIX.com. Thank you, Sean Saunders.
Thanks, Gareth.
Very good. Okay, and we've been talking to them for a couple of weeks now, so you should know everything you need to know. And if you missed any of it, you can always go back and listen to one of the episodes that you missed.
Good ek.
All right, when we come back, we'll hit some news and get your Monday off to a good start.
This is CliffCentral.com.